asking Patrick and Christy to come forward to talk about legislation and budget. I'm passing around the written answers to the questions about charter schools.
Oh, okay. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Welcome.
For the record, that is related to the questions that we asked
yesterday. I'm sorry, related to questions in our work session yesterday. These are the responses to the four charter school questions.
Excellent.
Sorry,
thank you very
put it
much.
In context.
Patrick, we've not met yet, have we?
Oh, I'm
no.
sorry. Patrick Fleming is our new director of legislative services and a lot of other things as duties as assigned, but he's with us in Annapolis right now, and we're very happy to have him on board, and he's going to walk you through the not all of the legislation that's in your packet, but pertinent ones that we think may need your attention. So, Patrick.
Welcome, and we're going to pester you a lot for the next
Thank
90
you.
Days.
That's great. That's why, you know, that's why they pay me the moderately big bucks.
nice to meet you.
So there's an updated list of bills that was as of January 29th, which I believe was handed out this morning to you, just because I wasn't able to update it yesterday because they go in at 8 o'clock and bills weren't out yet. So just want to identify a couple of bills. The first one is House Bill 154, which would add three members to the state board. It would add two teachers and one parent. The two teachers would be selected through an election that MSDE would organize of all certified teachers. They'd then go to the governor, and then they'd be appointed, and then the parent would be selected from the Parent Teacher Association of Maryland.
So this would grow the members on the board, not just like take a number of the spots?
Correct. It would add three more, so it would be a total of 14.
Got it.
Including the student member.
And a similar legislation was introduced last year?
Correct.
And we had a letter opposing it. And
correct.
Is this identical, the legislation this time around?
It's pretty close. It's just, last year was five people, so it was adding five. It was adding three teachers and two parents. This year they've scaled it back that it's two teachers and one parent. And there has been some tweaks of kind of how people are, how the individuals were added to be selected to give the better direction of the process of how the teachers would be selected as it would be an election administered by MSDE is the guidance that they provided us this year.
So my recollection is the reason why the board unanimously, I think, asked for the bill not to go forward was one, the kinds of criteria that the legislation would ask for is already generally represented on the board, for example, teachers, parents. And then second, there is a concern if you name certain stakeholder groups to those spots, there's a long list of other stakeholders who would be left out.
Correct.
So forth. So, we have a draft letter that we could send again. I would recommend doing so unless anyone agrees.
I am not opposed to this bill.
You're not opposed?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Let's vote.
Okay. So I guess what we're doing is the amended version of the letter to reflect the changes to the legislation. Mm-hmm. We would be forwarding with the blessing of the majority of the board if it leads that way to the legislature, reflecting our opposition.
Correct.
Okay. So moved by Dr. Steiner, second by Ms. Izzard. Okay, so all in favor of that opposition, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? And one abstention. So for the record, it was Dr. Guyton who opposed. Thank you so much.
And we'll get that letter.
Abstention.
Oh, I'm sorry. No one abstained, right?
No.
Opposed.
I'm sorry, one opposed. So everyone was in favor other than Dr. Guyton who opposed.
And then we'll get that letter prepared for your signature.
Great,
because
thank
I think
you.
It has to be done like today.
Yeah, the bill hearing is on Thursday.
Okay, did you have a question?
It seems like there also needs to be funding to expand this seating thing.
That's right, we would need more chairs, bigger board table.
Yeah. Better sound system.
About that last year too, Dr.
There are three other bills that I'd like to bring to your attention.
Please.
Real quick. One is House Bill 350, which is the administration bill. It's the governor's bill, the Achieving Computer Science Collaborations for Employing Students Statewide, or the Access Act of 2018. So that would require MSDE and the state board to approve computer science frameworks.
Please continue.
A computer science framework by November 30th of 2018, and then would require in 2020 every high school to offer at least one computer science course. In 2023, it would require every middle school to offer a computer science course. And then, and also in that same year, or 2022-23 school year, it would require the elementary schools to have computational thinking courses built into its curriculum. And then
Yeah, please.
Can you explain the one HB 281? How does that differ, and is there overlap or what?
They are very similar bills.
Yeah.
There are some minor differences between the two. It's still like 281 doesn't necessarily set a date for when the computer science framework needs to be. It doesn't say that the date by the framework needs to be completed. It creates a pretty stringent. It would say by, you know, in the 21-22 school year that they would have to offer computer science classes. And it offers, it sets up the Maryland Center for Computing Education. Both bills set that up. This one gives it $1 million of dedicated funds for 2 years.
Okay, and what does the governor's bill do?
The governor's office sets it up, but it doesn't specifically state a level of funding for that, for the center. But there's some minor differences in the kind of legislative intent or purpose of the center. Both essentially are meant to be a place for training of teachers to be able to provide the services, to be able to be certified computer science teachers.
Okay, so is it likely that they will somehow be combined in conference, or is there no process to?
I don't think they'll be combined. I think that there will definitely be amendments. I think in some way something's going to move forward. What exactly it looks like, I can't tell you just yet.
I'd like to make a recommendation. Since we have the governor's executive order, we're already working very closely to achieve what's in the bill. So I'd like to recommend the board that we send our experts and testify for this bill.
So move.
Okay. Is there a second on that?
Second.
Great. All right. All in favor, aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions? Okay. For the record, that was unanimous.
Thank you. The next bill is House Bill 351. It's also Senate Bill 301. It's the Protect Our Students Act of 2018.
Protect Our Students Act.
Correct. So this would increase the combined total score of the academic indicators from 60% to 85%, would set the upper limit. It wouldn't establish the limit, but it would just set the upper limit for the Educational Accountability Program. And then it would also add one question in regarding educators' receipt of critical instructional feedback and access to or credit for completing of a well-rounded curriculum. So that it was just modifying the Protect Our Schools Act from last year.
So many of us are quite versed on this. thank you. I mean, I don't think we need to ask any questions about this.
No, everything in this bill are matters that we previously expressed ourselves on.
That's right.
And I suggest that we indicate our support for the bill.
Yeah, so we can probably just amend the documents that we already have to reflect that this only touches upon a set of issues that were in the original legislation.
Mm-hmm.
So we can amend the letter accordingly.
Okay. We'll do that. And, we'll
and then
that.
The last bill?
The last bill is House Bill 355 or Senate Bill 302. It's the Accountability and Education Act. It's a bill that sets up the Investigator General of the Education Monitoring Unit within MSDE. So this would be charged with investigate and determine whether the civil rights of teachers, students, and parents are being upheld in compliance with federal, state, and local laws and regulations. Is that quick?
Thank you. And I think generally, if I can speak for the board on this, the principle of this is something that we're generally behind, of making sure the state has the capacity to make sure the state has the capacity to address these kinds of allegations that come up. So unless there's any objection to that, great. Any other bills you want to?
That's all I wanted to.
There were a bunch on the list that might be worth asking, but only if you think they're to be taken seriously.
These are the ones that I wanted to bring your attention. I'm happy to answer any questions that you may have, but these are the ones that I felt, you know, there's all of them that are, you know, anything can happen in Annapolis.
Yeah, we know that.
So.
The one that forbids the collecting social security numbers
yes.
of students. I did wonder whether that would impede our current data system if enacted.
MLDS.
I don't think so. Chandra's saying no, so I believe her.
Okay.
That doesn't cause problems with matching for Maryland longitudinal data system. I thought that was one of the issues that they were having.
Sorry, I messed up.
No, it's all right. So the MLDS Center currently is able to merge data with the DMV records. So they can utilize information, first name, last name, middle initial, date of birth through other sources in order to come up with the identity of the individuals. They do not necessarily rely on the Social Security numbers in the same way that they would need to do if they didn't have that relationship with the DMV currently. I'm sure the MLDS Center could discuss that in greater detail, but the MLDS Center does not need our Social Security numbers in order to do their matching. Okay. We currently, since 2011, it's been an optional data element per student records manual, so we have no longer required in our data system to collect that information, although some locals have chosen to provide the information to us if it was in their systems. So we did continue to collect it. As of 17-18, we have stopped that practice, and we no longer collect Social Security numbers at all. Then never mind. I do want to say that there are fiscal costs associated with this, because this bill is more than just about collecting the information. It is also about storing the information. We have records going back to 1993 that we currently have archived and stored. So there would be a fiscal cost to removing that information.
To removing it?
Because the bill does not allow us, as currently stated, to collect or hold Social Security numbers.
So we'll work on that if it looks like it's going to come to any.
Okay, one more. The bill to allow local school boards to extend the school year up to 5 days without approval from the state board. Do I correctly interpret that this would alter the impact of the executive order of the governor?
Yes.
Thank you.
Okay. The only question I had was on, I think it's the very last, perhaps. No, that's wrong.
Sorry, actually, let me clarify that. It wouldn't necessarily say that they could go beyond it, but it would say that if there's the need for them to go beyond it for some reason, they wouldn't need to seek a waiver to go beyond. So it wouldn't allow them to automatically go to it, go 5 days after when they're setting up their calendar. But at the end of the year, if they needed to go past it for
in order to get to the 180 days?
Correct. And they wouldn't need to not, and then they could go past it and not seek a waiver.
Oh, so the exercise we just went through with approving the five, the districts could get around that essentially. They could wait until the end of the school year, say they need extra days, and just blow past the June 15th.
Well, your summary says extend the school year, which I took to mean more than 180, adding days.
No, I apologize if that's.
So it's another way of getting to 180 without a waiver.
Correct.
Okay.
Yeah.
The only question I had was next to the last page, last one, SB 326 Ferguson. The bill would require MSDE to hire a person to administer what I presume is the Public School Opportunities Enhancement Act.
Mm-hmm.
What is the Public School Opportunities Enhancement Act?
So it's a grant that we currently administer today. So this would authorize that part of the funds, part of the appropriation would be able to be used for the administration of the program. So we already do it today, and this would say, you know, you can use the, you hire someone.
Like a 2% set aside for administrative expenses. Got it. Okay.
I had one other question, but I don't have it in front of me. I don't see it here. But I think in our packet that we had at home, there was something dealing with teacher pensions. I don't see that here, but on the face of it, it didn't look like it might be a great thing for teachers. I was hoping you could explain that to me.
Yeah. So that's it's a bill that has come up the last few years, and what its intent is to modify for new, not just teachers, but it's state employees. So it's the, because it's the state employees and teachers pension, and it would move it forward. It's a lower number Senate bill. I don't remember the top off the top of
right.
my head what
I
it
had
is.
It from
Senate Bill 31, as I just on page 7. I just turned to it. And it would modify the defined benefit and pension programs that are available to future employees. So it would create kind of a, you know, it would keep for certain circumstances a defined benefit program, and then, but if the employee chose to not stay for the period of time in order to be vested, or they don't think they're going to stay be with this state or a local school system for the period of time to be vested, they could opt to have what would the amount of money that would go into the defined benefit program set into a, for lack of a better term, a 401k mm-hmm. that the employer would pay into, and then when they leave, they would have access to a percent of that money.
Yes, and it says the state's contribution would be lower than the current amount.
Correct. That so the
coming from the employers.
Yes, so it would be like the amount that the state pays for state employees, not necessarily for teachers. It gets a little convoluted because it is teachers. You know, the plan covers both state employees and teachers. So,
may I ask quickly about two others? The one that would pay members of the Baltimore County Board $7,500 annually.
Mm-hmm.
We have any idea offhand how many local boards in this state pay their members sums with four digits?
I don't know. I mean, they're currently get $1,000.
It says 100 on your summary.
Oh, sorry, $100. Yeah, they're
so
trying
from
to
100 to 7,500, which is a very substantial raise.
Correct, and that's the.
I don't know about that's not overrated.
I'm sorry.
Montgomery County makes.
Yeah, usually these are local bills mm-hmm. that are pretty much under the. The local delegation.
Correct.
And
yeah.
Usually,
point of information.
Yeah, I know.
Curious.
I'm just saying.
How many local board members in the state get paid large sums?
It's a variety. It
as
goes
a
anywhere.
Former
from
local board member. Yes. I wouldn't call it a large sum, but no, I take your point. And I had this information at one point, but it is by far the majority. I think get paid at least $1,000.
It's really the state board that doesn't get any money.
Right. Yeah. I mean, if you want the numbers.
Thanks for reminding us.
Maybe we should have a bill.
I think we should share the pain, not the lucre.
Okay. There you go.
And one other one, the one that would reimburse districts for paying things like advanced placement exam fees. It's currently not state policy in the state, though it is in many other states, to cover things like AP exam fees for students. Mm-hmm. Apparently, it's locally determined whether a district is going to do that.
Correct.
Am I correct?
Yes.
And this would simply ensure that when they do that, they'd get reimbursed for doing it?
It would be for certain individuals. So it would be individuals that qualify for the CHIP program, the child health care. Program.
Income determined.
Yes. Income determined, and it would cover one test, so it would either be the AP, an IB, or a CTE certification.
Is there currently any state payment for those kinds of exams?
No.
None.
Well, wait, you in your budget, you guys keep showing us $800,000 for gifted and talented, and we was told that was to pay for AP exams.
That was in a prior year, and it was federal dollars. So there are no state dollars to cover AP costs, and those federal dollars go away and were rolled into, I believe, Title IV under ESSA.
So where does that money come from? It's just going to have to come from general budget?
Or
that's not for us to determine. That's okay. That would have to be legislated.
Yeah, appropriation that would need to be determined.
Okay, I had another question.
Okay.
Of SB 205, the High School Credit Clarification Act. I didn't realize that this was in question, so I was just wondering, is it really that unclear that you need to file a bill to fix it?
No, this would allow, because this is specific to being for
middle school students
to take online classes.
But it's a high school level class.
Correct, and this is something that's determined by the local agency, so this would remove the authority for the local board to determine when they would give credit.
Okay.
Okay. Any final questions? Oh, great. Thank you so much.
Good job.
Thank you.
Just a reminder to members of the board, in your board packet was a single piece of paper with a reminder of the now locked-in dates for the rest of 2018.
Christy wants to do real quick on the budget.
Oh, excuse me.
If you'd like.
Sorry about that.
Please.
Oh, okay.
Bring it.
The governor announced his fiscal year 2019 budget on January 17th. MSDE's budget is a little over $8 billion. He fully funded the Bridge to Excellence formulas. It's a $137 million increase over the prior year. The governor also included additional $15 million to ensure every local school system gets at least $100,000 more than they did in FY18. The budget includes an additional $3 million for school systems to implement policies and practices related to the opioid addiction problem, $8.5 million to expand access to pre-kindergarten throughout the state. That's part of the pre-kindergarten expansion grant program that was adopted a few years ago. The governor also introduced legislation that would eliminate a few mandates that were passed a few years ago. So the public school opportunities program that we just spoke about would be reduced from $7.5 million as a mandate to $2.5 million. The legislation would also eliminate the Next Generation Scholars Program, the teacher and some of the programs under the Teacher Induction, Retention, and Advancement Pilot Program, and stipends for some teachers in Anne Arundel County. The legislation would also reduce the stipends amount for those nationally board certified teachers in comprehensive need schools from $4,000 to $2,000. The budget eliminated 10 positions in MSDE's headquarters budget and 6 contractual positions in the Division of Rehabilitation Services. Some good news items: the budget included additional resources for the child care subsidy program. Effective immediately, or as soon as we can get our systems up and ready, we are going to eliminate the freeze for the 2 highest income tiers in the child care subsidy program, so more families will have access to subsidized child care throughout the state. The governor also included funding to increase provider rates for the child care subsidy program by 8%. There's an additional $2.7 million for the autism waiver, so we can add some additional slots for that program. There's an additional $3.5 million for the BOOST program. And there is a new state-aided institution. There's $10,000 for the Fire Museum of Maryland.
And BOOST, additional on top of whatever the amount was last year, or just the appropriations, $33 million-something?
No, it's a total of $9 million. So it's $3.5 million more than was included in the current FY18 budget.
And is the idea for more students to participate or more money per student? Do you know? Does it say?
I don't know. Typically, the authorizing language for that program says that the BOOST advisory board should set those
okay.
So make those decisions.
All right.
President Smerich, just one other thing. Would the board would enable me to approve other waivers for that come in for the 15th? That was one thing we didn't add to the motion. There may be some waivers that come in between now if we have bad weather.
Yeah.
And I would like to have the authority to approve those waivers in that situation.
Yeah. So move. I thought we included it, but yes, let's it's a discretion.
Just want to make sure.
Yeah, between now and the next board meeting.
Right.
For President's Day.
Yes. Yes.
Sure. Do you want to second it?
Okay. Any further discussion of that? Okay. All in favor?
Thank you.
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions?
I appreciate that. Hopefully there will not be the need for that.
Let's hope.